It's so exciting to see God working in all the different churches, HMC's churches in the world. And today, I'm so excited to introduce you all to Pastor Pete. For those of us who were here for Ignite, he was our speaker. Pastor Pete comes from Ann Arbor, and I have actually had the privilege of knowing him for over, I think, like 15 years. So the really amazing thing about Pastor Pete's story is he actually became a believer his freshman year. He's 1 year older than me, and so he came in, he accepted Christ, and I was able to see just Pastor Pete grow in the faith and really take this mantle of first being a leader in our church and then becoming a pastor and then now being the head pastor of Ann Arbor. And so it's such a privilege for me just to see such a godly man lead our church and our people. And maybe what we can do is you can give him a warm HMCC Austin welcome as he comes up to share God's word.
Thanks. I really consider it a privilege to be here this weekend and just to see what God's doing here. And, you know, just to, you know, before I even get into today's message, to follow up even a little bit on some of the videos that you've seen and some of the things that we're witnessing happen in our other churches. One thing that I hope for all of you is that you won't just hear these updates from a distance. You won't just kind of watch videos of things happening around the world or kind of hear about it from other people. But something I would love for all of you is that you get to see that for yourself firsthand. That's a joy that I have, you know, being able to come down here and seeing what God is doing in the church, getting to know many of you. I love that. It's been a really good time. You know, just recently I got to visit Jakarta and I got to visit Hong Kong. I got to see some of what God was doing there. And it's just so exciting. It's so exciting to see firsthand what God is doing and not just see it from a distance. So I want to encourage all of you with that. Some of you, you're going up to Ann Arbor for CSMP this year. You're going to be serving there. Our guys from Ann Arbor, they're going to be coming down here later this summer, going to be visiting you. And those are just really good opportunities to build up our church family and the vision that we have together and the sense that we're not just each separate churches doing this on our own, but we're trying to do it together as one body. And so I want to just really invite all of you into that. If there are opportunities for you in future years to maybe do CSMP or to do an international overseas missions project where you can visit our other churches, or even if God just gives you the opportunity to visit Jakarta, to visit Hong Kong, to visit Singapore, you know, to come and see what God is doing in those different places, I think it'll really help that vision that God has given us come alive to you. So I want to just invite all of you into that and encourage you to pray about that even for future years. You know, some of you, even last night, you might have made a commitment to saying, okay, maybe I want to do a future mission project. And that's something really to look forward to. That's something to, you know, believe that God is going to use to just grow you, for you to see a little bit of what God's doing in the world. So I just want to encourage all of you with that here as we get started. And, you know, I'm actually really sad now that I have to leave. I'm leaving right at the end of today's celebration. I have a flight at 6:30. So as soon as I'm done, I'm going to have to like head right out the door, try to race to the airport and get there on time. So I apologize. I won't be able to say goodbye more personally to all of you. But hey, this is a great time to close out together, a great time to meet with the Lord. You know, we have a place with air conditioning. Praise God. You know, this morning I put on jeans. It was an act of faith. It was like, I was like, Lord, what should I wear today? I'm used to like wearing pants to preach in. So I'm like, okay, God, I just believe in faith. You're going to provide for us. So you're welcome. You know, God answers prayers and he answers those steps of faith. So I'm excited to close out here for this weekend. You know, some of you, you're just here for Sunday. You weren't here the last couple days, but many of you were. And it's been really good seeing God work in you. But one of the things that I realize as a pastor, I've been to many retreats, many different conferences and things like this before, and some of you have too. And one of the things that I feel as a pastor in these situations is this sense of kind of like, what now? What's going to happen now? How are we going to follow up from this? Because I've seen many people have a really great encounter with God at a retreat, at a conference, and then right afterward, it's just right back to business as usual. And I know some of you, you're going to be here for the summer. Some of you, you're going home for the summer. You're going places like Dallas and Houston and wherever else it is that you're from. Maybe you're traveling, doing internships, whatever else. I don't know. How are you going to keep seeking God in those times? How are you going to continue growing as you move forward from this conference? How are you going to take with you some of those convictions and just keep pursuing after God? That's what I want to talk to you about a little bit here this morning as we dig into the Word. You can open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We're going to be looking at one of my favorite stories from the book of Acts, a story that really, I think, communicates so much of God's heart. And we're going to be talking today about preparation. That's a title for today's message, if you like having titles for things. We're going to be talking about preparation. And one thing I have for you to remember is that God prepares us for His mission. God prepares us for His mission. And so, you know, we started off on Friday night. We were talking about really experiencing the restorative power of the gospel in our lives. How when we bring God the dirty water of our lives, that He can take that and make something beautiful out of it. And last night we talked about surrendering our lives to Christ, surrendering ourselves to His purposes, whatever that means. You know, not having this betrayal heart within us, but instead having a genuine heart of just a costly devotion to Christ. And so now as we look forward, let's just begin to think about preparation. That right now, this is just the beginning of that work. But there's a preparation that God wants to lead us through as we look ahead into the future. So we're going to read just the beginning of this story, really. We're going to be reading Acts 10, verse 1 to 23 in total. We're just going to cover kind of half of what happens here in this particular story. I'm going to start by reading verses 1 through 8 for us. So let's go ahead and read that. Acts 10, 1 to 8. It says, "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, 'Cornelius.' And he stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa." Okay. So in getting into this passage here, talking about how God prepares us for His mission, the first thing we want to talk about is how God is actually preparing people to receive. Preparing to receive what it is that the Lord has for them. And we start to see this in the story of this man named Cornelius. And right away, as we kind of look through the passage, we realize that he's described as a devout man. He is someone who, while he's a Gentile, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, he's not a Jewish person. But he believes in God. He's described as devout. He seeks the Lord in prayer. He gives to the poor. He does all these kinds of things. And he's someone who is really well-respected, not just in, you know, his position as a military leader, but he's someone who's well-respected even by the Jewish community around him as he's, you know, as he's living within kind of the Jewish realm there next to the Mediterranean. And so we have this devout man who is, you know, respected, who is godly, who loves the Lord. And then as we're introduced to him, we see he has this angelic encounter, right? This angel comes and appears to him and just says his name. And just at the very sound of the angel saying his name, having this vision of him, he just begins to tremble in fear. He's just saying, what is it, Lord? And this angel begins to describe to him how his prayers and his alms have risen to God, and that God actually sees him, and God is actually paying attention to him, and God wants to reveal himself to this man, Cornelius. And, you know, even just seeing this point of the story so far, one thing I want to just point out to us, because I think it's important for Christians to know this, is that there are people around the world who genuinely want to know God. People who are praying, people who want to know the God of the universe. They want to know the Creator. They want to know the one who has given us our existence and has given us our purpose and our meaning, the one in whose image we are created. And there are many people seeking after God, and God actually, you know, knows them. He knows them by name. He created them. He is preparing them for something. In fact, one thing I love hearing these stories, I realize that today God is actually doing this among many Muslim people in the world. In fact, if you look at the way that Cornelius is described, he's actually described a lot like a lot of Muslims, isn't he? I don't know if many of you know a lot of Muslim people, but when you, if you get to know a lot of Muslim people, I've had the privilege of knowing many men and women who are Muslims, and you realize they're incredibly devout. Many Muslims, they take their prayers very seriously. They take giving to the poor very seriously. They're humble. They're pious. They care for others. That's actually what many Muslim people are like. And also, in our world today, praise God, there are many Muslims actually having divine encounters with God through visions and dreams. In fact, you can just go on like YouTube or something. You can Google, Muslim testimonies, things like that, and you'll hear that there are many Muslims coming to know Christ around the world in places like North Africa, in places like Southeast Asia, places like the Middle East, Muslims who they don't even have a Christian witness in their life. They don't know a single Christian, but they'll have visions of Isa al-Masih, Jesus, the Messiah, appear to them in their sleep or appear to them in a supernatural vision and call them and say, hey, you need to believe in me. You need to believe in Jesus as he's revealed in the New Testament. Go find one of the people of the book. That's what Muslims call Christians. Go find a person of the book, and they will tell you more about me. See, this God acts consistently, and I'm so thankful for that. In the same way that God is revealing himself to this devout man, Cornelius, and giving him this supernatural encounter, God's still doing that kind of stuff in the world today. And I'm so thankful for that God is doing that preparation work. But then, as that starts to happen, we then see the angel just gives him some directions to follow. He says, here's your next steps. Go and find someone, send some people, go find this guy, Simon, named Peter, who's living with Simon the Tanner. Go find him and bring him and call to him, say, he's the guy that you're going to learn more about me from. And then we see that Cornelius, he has this faith to obey. He takes this step of faith. He doesn't take it lightly, what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the reason that I wanted to share this story with you here today is partially, just realizing there are people in the world who actually want to know God, realizing God is doing this supernatural preparation. But also what I really want to encourage you with as a step forward from this Ignite conference is to seriously begin to pray for the people that God is calling you to reach. To begin to pray for them, because you're not going to convince someone to believe in Jesus if God is not already at work in their hearts. And that's something that I've experienced as just a very frustrating thing. I think as a new believer in Christ, back when I was an undergrad student, I would go out on campus and just share the gospel with people constantly. In fact, when I was an undergrad student, I made this commitment to God. I said, God, I'm going to share the gospel with at least one person every day who's not a Christian. And I did that throughout my whole college career. Every single day, I would find someone to share the gospel with. And I would go out on like our diag on the U of M campus, and I would find someone to sit down with, and I would try to share my faith with them, or I'd meet with a classmate, I'd study with a classmate, I would try to share my faith with them. And that was a good experience for me because I was learning to communicate the gospel. But one thing that I realized was that as hard as I tried to convince somebody that if God was not already working in their life, that there was no way they were going to listen to me. And so I started to learn the importance of prayer and interceding for people, that when I went out, I didn't just rely on my own ability to communicate the gospel, my own ability to convince somebody. I realized that was never going to be enough, and I started to pray. And that's when I started to see more just incredible divine encounters starting to happen, where I just realized, wow, God, you had to be the one setting this up. You had to be the one bringing me and this other person together. In fact, one just to share with you very quickly, one kind of divine appointment that God set up was, I remember one summer, I think it was actually the summer after my sophomore year in college, I decided to stay in Ann Arbor to be part of a summer life group, and we were having a great life group experience. That life group over that summer, we just had lots of fun, just crazy times playing around on campus, doing all kinds of fun stuff. But then also, we took a lot of opportunities to go out and share our faith. And I remember one day, I actually decided to go out with Pastor Rebbe and to share our faith on campus. And, he and I, we've been good friends since that time. We were LCGs that summer, accountability partners. And so we were like, hey, let's go out and share the gospel on campus. Let's just go out and meet some people. So we prayed together, and we prayed, God, will you lead us to just the people that you want to lead us to right now? Will you lead us just to the right people that you have prepared for us today? We prayed that prayer, and then we went out on campus. We started talking to people, and we said, okay, let's meet back here in 1 hour. Let's just give each other an hour. We're going to go out, we're going to talk, and then we'll meet back here on the Diag in an hour, and then we'll go have lunch. So, okay, cool. So we went our separate ways. We started talking to people, and I didn't meet anyone who wanted to talk to me. Like, that whole hour went by, and everyone who I approached and tried to have a conversation with, they were just like, get away from me. Like, I don't want anything to do with you. All right, so I was like, I was getting discouraged. I was like, oh, man, this is so frustrating. And so I went back to our Diag, to the area that I was going to meet Pastor Rebbe, and I was just waiting there for him. And you know, it got to be, you know, 12 o'clock or something, time for lunch, and he hadn't shown up yet. And I saw this guy sitting on a bench there on the Diag. I saw him sitting there, and you know, he looked like he was alone. He wasn't really doing anything. And so I went over and sat down and started talking to him. And you know, I asked him, like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And it turned out that he introduced me himself to me. His name was Ping, and he was an international student from China. And he said, yeah, I'm just waiting for my friend here. My friend is coming to meet me here, and we're supposed to have lunch together. And I was like, oh, wow, like my friend is supposed to meet me here to have lunch too. But hey, while we're waiting, you know, can I ask you, do you know anything about God? Or do you know anything about Jesus? And he was like, no. Like, who's God? Who's Jesus? And I realized this is someone who had never heard the gospel before in his life, had no conception of God at all. And he was a graduate student who had come to study at the university. And so for the next, I don't know how long, probably next half hour or so, I started just sharing my faith with him and trying to describe who God is and who Jesus is and why we need Jesus for salvation. And it was an incredible conversation. It was this feeling of like, wow, God, you arranged this just the way that it was supposed to be. It was really incredible. And so as I'm sharing this with him, you know, after a while, we had a really good conversation. And then both of us are kind of like, wait, like, you know, where are our friends? And you know, he kind of turned and looked down the street, and he said, oh, there's my friend coming right there. And I looked, and I said, oh, there's my friend coming right there. And it turned out that Pastor Rebbe had actually met his friend, Lei. And you know, he was another international student from China, and they were walking together toward us, and Pastor Rebbe had met him somewhere and started talking with him and was sharing the gospel with him. And these two brothers, Lei and Ping, we got together, we're like, hey, like, this is cool. How did this happen? And those two brothers actually ended up being a couple of the first members of our Global Access Ministry, international ministry. And we started to reach out to international students there in Ann Arbor. And, you know, Pastor Rebbe and I, we weren't part of that. We weren't part of that ministry, but we were able to just connect them. We actually introduced them to Pastor Andrew, who is now in Jakarta leading the church there. But at that time, he was, you know, in our church in Ann Arbor, and we got them connected. They started Global Access, and all these things happened. And it just showed me at that moment, like, wow, God, you're doing a work of preparation in people's hearts. And it's so important to pray and to trust God that he's going to do that. And I share that partially to reinforce the importance of prayer, but also I kind of want to take the pressure off of you too. Because sometimes as Christians, we feel like we have to be these perfect witnesses. We have to have an answer for every question. We have to be like the ultimate evangelist. And only then will we be capable of convincing somebody that Jesus is real. And that's a lie. That's not true. It is not true that you have to be the perfect evangelist, that you have to have every answer, that you have to have the most convincing argument. That is absolutely not true. That is a lie that's going to keep you from stepping out in faith and just sharing Christ with people and just seeing how they respond. And if they don't respond, if God's not already working in them at that time, that's okay. But we want to look for what Jesus describes as people of peace. People who he is preparing beforehand, people who are receptive to the gospel, and just say, okay, God, who are you bringing my way? Who are you preparing to receive this good news? And so that's what we see happening in the story of Cornelius. God has been preparing him, revealing this to him in a vision and speaking to him in this angelic encounter, and he is now following up and saying, okay, I'm going to obey that vision. I'm going to seek out someone who can tell me more. And so that's how God was preparing him. Let's read verses 9 to 23, the rest of the story, to see how this plays out. It says, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop and about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance.
and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision had that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. Okay, so we've already talked about how God is preparing people to receive. Now let's talk a little bit about how God is preparing people to send. Okay, because this has to happen on both ends of the equation. Both ends of God's work of mission in the world, there has to be a preparation that is going on here. And we notice in this story that God is actually preparing Peter through this rooftop prayer time that he's in. And I don't know if you guys have like your special places that you go to pray and that you go to meet with God, but Peter here, for whatever reason, he just decides to go up on top of this roof and to spend some time in prayer. And I realize that in terms of preparing us for his mission, those moments are incredibly important. In fact, one other story I'll just share with you real quick is something that happened in the early 1800s, happened in 1806. And back in 1806, in Massachusetts, you know, a couple hundred years ago, there were a group of young men who regularly got together, five young men who are college students. They got together to pray for missions and to talk about how God was working among the nations. And, you know, we have to realize at that time, none of these guys had actually been anywhere. You know, they were people who grew up in Massachusetts, lived there all their lives. Like, that was, for all they knew, that was all that they'd ever known. But they loved talking about what God was doing in Africa, what God was doing in China, what God was doing all over the world. They just started talking about these things and praying regularly for them. And one day, they were out in the field just where they normally met to pray. And they were praying together, and they were talking that day specifically about China. And as they were talking and praying, a storm came in, and they could see the storm coming from the distance, so they were like booking it, trying to get back to campus, trying to get back to where they were going to college, and they didn't make it in time. The rain just started pouring down upon them, this torrential downpour, and so they kind of dove under this haystack. And under the shelter of this haystack, they just continued to pray, and they continued to talk about what God was doing in China. And as they're praying and as they're talking about these things, one of these young men, his name was Samuel Mills. He was a freshman, first year in college. As they're praying together and as they're talking about this, he just said this one statement. He said, "We can do this if we will. We can do this if we will." And isn't that so different from the way we normally talk about things, we normally approach this? We often say, well, we will do this if we can. If it seems reasonable to us, if it seems within our own capability, if it seems like something that we think we could do, well, then maybe we'll try. But he flipped it around. He said, "We can do this if we will. We can do this if we are willing to step out and do it." And that prayer gathering under that haystack, when he said those words and when they're lifting up these prayers, that came to be known as the Haystack Prayer Gathering in August 1806, and that marked the beginning of the student missions movement that came out of North America, where tens of thousands of students, inspired by that gathering and by things that happened afterward, were sent around the world, sent to the nations, sent to places like China, where people had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And it all happened because there were five praying students who met with the Lord on that day under the shelter of a haystack. What I want to ask you is, do you have that haystack? Do you have that rooftop? Do you have that place where you go to meet with God. And even the rest of this summer, whether you're going to be here in Austin, whether you're going to be somewhere else with your family, wherever, are you resolved that as God has been speaking to you this weekend, that you're saying, God, I'm going to continue meeting with you in prayer, and I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray and ask you to prepare them. But God, I'm also going to pray and ask you to prepare me. I'm going to ask you to meet me on my rooftop. I'm going to ask you to meet me in my haystack, in my closet, in my wherever it is that you go. And my prayer for you is that you will have those moments, because I've had to have those moments. And it can come in the weirdest places. I remember just another summer, just one more story before we continue on, is I remember one summer. I was just growing a lot, but I was also feeling a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. I was feeling a lot of my own inadequacies. And I remember one night, I was actually staying up late with my ministry team serving, and I was on our web team. I don't know if you guys have a web team or not. Is there kind of a web team or a media team or something like that? Is that, no, not really, kinda. It's like one guy, it's like Michael, okay, cool. So I was being Michael, and I was, you know, some other people, and we were up, it was like 4 a.m. We were staying up all night trying to get this work done, and at the same time, I was working full time, and I was really involved in my life group. And again, we were like out on campus, reaching out to people, doing all kinds of stuff. It was crazy, but it was all really good. But I remember at that moment, I was just overwhelmed. I just felt tired. I felt kind of worn down, burnt out. And for some reason, I had in that moment, there's this question in my mind, like, God, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Like, why am I doing this? Like, this is dumb. Like, 2 years ago, I never could have imagined myself doing stuff like this. Why am I doing this? And I remember I was just in this really dark mood, this really, just really weird place that came up on me all of a sudden. And my teammates were like, dude, like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's going on? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And you know, I was like, I just need a second. And so, you know, I walked out of the building and I went back out on this loading dock in the back of the building and stood out there next to the dumpsters. And next to the dumpsters, I remember just looking up into the night sky and just seeing all the stars. I remember just praying to God, just saying, God, why am I doing all this? God, is this worth it? Why am I staying up till 4 a.m.? Why am I giving all my time to all these things? And I can't even tell you that there was a specific like phrase that God told me or anything, but just in that moment as I stood there, as I was praying, as I was asking God, I just felt like the Holy Spirit met me there, and I had this encounter with God, and God just filled me with this assurance and with this joy and with this thankfulness in my heart. He brought me back to thinking about, yeah, 2 years ago you wouldn't have been doing this, but 2 years ago you were lost, you were empty, you were purposeless, you were dead inside. Look how I've saved you. Look how I rescued you from sin. Look how I gave you new life. And this joy just filled me in that moment with the smell of the dumpster like wafting through my nose. But I just remember I just stood there crying. I just stood there crying, just saying, yes, Lord, it's worth it. God, whatever you want me to do, whatever it takes, God, I'm yours. Do you have those moments when God meets you by a dumpster or meets you wherever else? Can you believe that God still needs to do some preparation in you this summer? Preparing you, not just to receive, but preparing you to send, to go to some people, to go to some place, even to come back here to campus in the fall, that he wants to prepare you for that this summer. And so as Peter's up there, as he's up there praying, God begins to do this work in his heart. God begins to do something in him, and we see he enters a hungry trance. It's really interesting, isn't it? He gets hungry. He's just physically hungry. And for some reason, God brings him into this trance where God shows him some food just coming down on a sheet from heaven. Who knows why that's happening, but his food's all coming down like a sheet. And Peter, you know, this voice says, you know, rise, Peter, kill and eat. You know, I'm providing a meal for you. Here, it's right there. You're hungry. Come and do that. And this is where Peter has to make a decision. Am I going to eat these things? Because to Peter, they were actually unclean. And we'll talk more about what that means in a second, but to Peter, these things were unclean. These were animals that the Jewish people were not supposed to eat. These were, you know, things from the sea. Like, you know, go back and read, like, Leviticus and stuff, and you'll see, like, they're not supposed to eat, like, shellfish, or they're not supposed to eat, like, animals with, like, their hooves in a specific way, or, like, pigs or whatever else. And all these kind of animals are coming down, and God is showing them to Peter and saying, hey, Peter, why don't you, here's a meal for you. Have some bacon. You know, have some pork sausage. Have some baby back ribs. You know, have some shrimp. And Peter's like, no, God, no, why would I eat that? It's crazy, right? Who doesn't want that? But that's what's happening right here. And this is where Peter is having, I think he's having a missions moment here. I don't know if any of you have had these moments, but I know for me, on missions, one of the important, most important lessons I had to learn was this phrase, where the Lord leads, I will follow. What the Lord feeds, I will swallow. Have you guys had to learn that lesson yet? If you haven't, I pray that you will. And that's the kind of lesson where you learn when you're out in the middle of nowhere somewhere and someone feeds you turtle. And you're like, I don't want to eat a turtle, but where the Lord leads, I will follow. What the Lord feeds, I will swallow. It's that kind of lesson that you have to learn, right? And so Peter, he's having that moment here. And what I want us to realize is that, and what God is showing Peter here, is that some of us are hungry to be part of God's mission. Some of us are hungry to say, you know, maybe last night you felt like God was speaking to you and you felt like God was saying, yeah, I'm going to send you to the nations. I'm going to use you to plant a church. I'm going to use you to reach people on this campus. I'm going to use you to do all these things. And maybe you feel like God is speaking to you and you're like, yeah, God, I'm hungry. I want to be part of that. But then God shows you what the meal's going to look like and you're like, oh, God, no. God, no, not that. Not that. Like, I mean, yes, God, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to eat that. I'm not that hungry. This is Peter's moment. He's hungry, and God is showing him this meal of animals that he finds disgusting. And he's like, well, God, I'm hungry, but I'm not that hungry. The reason that God is showing him this is that right after this hungry trance, some unclean visitors show up at the gate, don't they? These messengers from Cornelius, these Gentiles, who in Peter's mind, he's still thinking, why would I ever want to associate with these guys? I'm a Jewish person. They're Gentiles. They're unclean. I'm not supposed to have anything to do with them. I'm not supposed to go to their house. I'm not supposed to share a meal with them. I definitely don't want to be seen with people like that. I definitely do not want that. But God has been preparing him to be sent to those unclean people. And the reason I'm sharing this with you here today is that I think one of the biggest issues in the church today, one of the biggest issues for Christians, and one of the biggest obstacles to us being able to take the gospel to the nations, is that there are far too many people in this world that we consider unclean. Far too many people who, when we think about them, we're like, oh no, I do not want to be with those people. Those people are weird. Those people are scary. Those people are disgusting. Those people, oh gosh, I could not be friends with them. I mean, maybe I can pray for them from a distance, but I don't want to know them. I don't want to get close to them. I don't want to go to them. And yet those people that we might consider unclean are oftentimes the people who need to experience the gospel the most. And, you know, many of you, I know you're probably aware of this going on in the news right now. I was just learning about, you know, this morning that there was this shooting over in Orlando. I hope many of you are aware of that already. The worst mass shooting in the history of this nation happens at a gay club in Orlando, Florida, where a guy went in there with whatever guns he had and shot up the place and killed 50 people and injured at least 53 more. And this incredible act of violence. And the man, it seems like, was motivated, at least in some way, by his Islamic faith or some twisted version of it. He proclaimed allegiance to ISIS in a 911 call at some point during that time. He said, you know, this is why I'm doing this. And he targeted this group of people, evidently, at least according to his family. They said he saw a gay couple kissing on the street, and it set him off. And so he decided to target this gay club and go in there and shoot up the place and kill as many people as he could. And as I heard about this, I mean, just on a human level, my heart broke. I was just like, God, why is this happening? Why are people dying like this? Why is this is a tragedy. This is heartbreaking. This just breaks the heart of God. And I just remember hearing about this and just being overwhelmed, being speechless, just like, God, why? Why? And what made it worse was that as I realized, as I talked to Christians, the two groups prominently on display in this situation, Muslims and people in the LGBTQ community, these are two groups that Christians consider unclean. These are two groups of people that most of us never want to associate with. Most of us never want to have anything to do with. Most of us don't know anybody or have close friendships with people who identify with these groups. And I just wonder, this morning, right now, or last night, if God was trying to put something on your heart, if you're saying, God, I'm hungry. God, I'm hungry to go on missions. I'm hungry to be part of what you're doing in the world. I'm hungry to reach someone with the gospel. But if God showed you, okay, I'm going to send you to some gay friends on campus, would you say, oh God, no, I'm not that hungry? If God said, I want to send you to Egypt, I want to send you to North Africa, I want to send you to backwoods Indonesia, I want to send you to the Middle East, to a place where you might get killed for your faith, if God told you that, would you say, God, I'm hungry, but I'm not that hungry? These people are too unclean to me. I don't want to know them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I can't be friends with them. I'm scared of them, God. I find them disgusting. I don't want anything to do with them. And sad to say, 2,000 years later, God is still trying to teach the same lesson to us that he was teaching to Peter back then, saying, do not consider something unclean that I have made clean. Do not consider something unclean that I have made clean. And we do not realize that there are people out there who are gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, that God loves and God is trying to do something in their heart. He is preparing them. There are people crying out to God, saying, God, I'm in pain. God, I feel alone. God, I feel rejected. God, my family has disowned me. God, I don't know who's going to love me and care for me if I am like this. And God is preparing their heart. They're crying out to him. He's working in them, and he's trying to work in us, but we're telling him no. God is working in Muslim people. God is working in Hindu people. God is working in atheists and agnostics. God is working in all different kinds of people. And we're like, no, God, I just want to have my Christian friends. I just want to hang out with my life group. I want to be with people who like the kind of food that I like. I don't want anything to do with them. God is saying, do not consider something unclean that I am making clean. There are people out there that I want to turn into a new creation. God is saying, it is my work to make everything new. Jesus came as a savior. Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes so that we could have life, life to the full, to save, to heal, to redeem. And for us as Christians, if we realize that this is what God is trying to do, then something's going to change in our hearts. God's going to prepare us and get us to a place where we say, God, okay, God, whatever mission field you send me to, I'll do it. Where the Lord leads, I will follow. What the Lord feeds, I will swallow. I'll do whatever it takes, God. And God, if you want to send me to some international students on campus who I have a hard time relating with, I have a hard time understanding, well, God, I'm going to do that. And God, if you want to send me to a group of students on campus who would hate me and would want nothing to do with me, God, still, I will do that. God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want to send me, God, I will do that. And the beautiful thing is that as Peter realizes this, as God speaks to him, well, then the rest of the story we're not even going to get to read is that Peter goes with them. And he goes and he proclaims the good news. And Cornelius and his whole household come to know Christ. And the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And the work of the gospel continues in and through that family. The work of the gospel continues to spread. And for us here, what we need to recognize is that if we have experienced the amazing, transformative love of Jesus Christ, the kind of stuff we were talking about on Friday night, if we recognize that God has met us when we were unclean, when we ourselves were broken, when we ourselves were hurting, when we were the ones that should have been rejected by God, we were enemies of Christ. If God chose to come near to us when we were the unclean visitor, then we ourselves need to be the people who are ready to go That as God the Father said, as God the Father sent Jesus, that now he is sending us into the world. And as we know that Jesus Christ came to hang on that cross, to die for our sins, to shed his blood, to forgive us, to make us new, that God is now calling us and saying, will you go to these people? Will you go to those that you think are unclean when actually I am trying to make them clean? I am trying to save them. I'm trying to heal them. And I am preparing their hearts. This is what the Lord is calling us to, and it's what he's trying to prepare us for. And that's why today, as I shared with you, that God prepares us for his mission, I want to challenge you that as you move forward from this conference, that you will not just leave it here. You will not just drop what God is doing right now, right here. You will not just say, okay, yeah, that was a cool experience, and I sweated a lot, and you know, we danced around, and we had a good time, and we did our O thing, which I never saw that before. That was really weird for me, but praise God. You know, we won't be content with that. We'll say, Lord, I'm ready, and I want you to keep preparing me, God, and I'm going to be praying for you to prepare other people. Prepare me, God, as God is preparing us for his mission. That will be resolved that wherever you go this summer, whether you're here, whether you're in another city, whether you're in another country, wherever God takes you, that you will trust God to continue that preparation work in your heart and in the lives of others. I want to give you three life applications to close out here for today. And the first one is to commit to your rooftop. Commit to your rooftop. Maybe do that, definitely do that by yourself, but you know what? Some of you, you have the opportunity to do that with other people. One thing that I love and that I remember and I have some like really crazy memories from is when I was a student, there were times when I would just get together with other people to pray. And, you know, I would do that on campus. I remember this one time, me and this one guy, we just said, hey, let's go find a place to pray. And, you know, we went and we found this open church building. And we're like, okay, here, there's no one here. Let's just go inside and we'll pray. We went in and we started praying. We prayed there for like a couple hours. And then after a couple hours, we're like, okay, we need to go. And so we got up and we tried to leave and the doors were locked and we couldn't get out. And so we're like, okay, we had to actually look around the whole building and we had to find a window that we could climb out on the second floor and then get over a moat that was actually surrounding the window. And it was like this huge ordeal. It took us like 4 hours at the end of it to get out of there and to go on with our lives. But, you know, I look at that, I'm like, God, thank you for those experiences. Thank you for those times you gave me when I was able to just meet with another brother and pray for the campus and pray for the nations and pray for each other. And I'm so thankful for times God gave me, those rooftop experiences. Can you commit to that this summer? Commit to even a regular time, a regular place. Maybe other people you want to get together with. You know, if you're like in your hometown this summer and there's someone else from HMCC that's there, well, do that with them. Commit to that with them. Get together maybe once a week. Just say, hey, let's get together and let's share and let's pray and let's keep each other accountable. Maybe it doesn't even have to be someone from our church. It could be another Christian friend you have that maybe is going somewhere else for school, but just say, hey, you know, I've been growing in this and I want to share it with you. Can we just get together and pray? And I believe that out of that, God might even write in you and your friends, God might want to produce one of those haystack prayer gatherings where a movement starts and you never even expected it. Or it just comes out of prayer that's birthed there. And you know what? If you're like somewhere where you're by yourself, and I've been there. By the way, just to let you know, the summer after my freshman year was one of the loneliest times of my life. Because I left campus, I went home for the summer, and I didn't have a single Christian friend there. All my friends were atheists, and they all hated Christians, and so I was like, I was alone. And I didn't have a church, I didn't have anything. And it was so hard because I just accepted Christ. I just got baptized. I felt so alone. And you know what? I just realized after that, I mean, partially I valued the community that I had in our church so much more. But also I just realized, God, any other time where I'm in that place where I'm by myself, God, help me to fight for the connection I have with others. And some of you, you might feel like you're alone, but you got a phone. You got Google Hangout. You got FaceTime. You got Skype. You got whatever. Why don't you just connect with someone with that? It's not hard. Schedule a time, meet up, pray in that way. Do whatever it takes. And so personally, and even together with other people, commit to that rooftop that God is going to give you. Secondly, intercede for your mission field. Intercede for your mission field, for the people that God is calling you to. And you know what, right now, even specifically, I'd say pray for OCR. Pray for the freshmen. They're going to be coming in this fall. Fight for them in prayer. Pray, God, prepare their hearts. Prepare them to hear the gospel. Prepare them, God, to be open to the work of Christ. And this is something I'm so thankful for, is that, I mean, I shared with you before, is my freshman year that I accepted Christ and someone invited me to life group. And I found out later that people in that life group had been praying for me long before they ever met me. My friend had been sharing with them and saying, hey, pray for my friend who doesn't know Jesus, pray for him. And they had been praying for me. And I only found that out later, and I realized God was using their prayers to prepare my heart. And I even wonder, when I had that encounter with God in my dorm room, I even wonder if that was exactly when someone was praying for me. And we got to believe God for that. We got to believe that as we pray for the freshmen and the new transfer students and the new international students and whoever else is coming to campus, let's pray and say, God, prepare their heart. Like, Holy Spirit, like, smack them across the face. Like, do something. Wake them up. Show them they need you. Show them that they're lost. Show them that they have no purpose. Show them that they need something more. Like, God, wake them up. Give them a divine encounter. Give them an angel. Give them something. Pray for your mission field in that way. And it's not just the campus. Some of you here, you're working people. You're living in the city. You're in like Faux Pact and stuff and Covenant. And I would challenge you, pray for the city. This is your mission field. There are people here in this city that are lost and they're hurting just like they were when they were on campus. But now, living especially like single people are super lonely. I don't know if you're aware of that. Like, most people who are single are like super lonely. It's one of the loneliest times of life after you graduate from college. And there are a lot of people, they don't have a church, they don't have a community, and they're hurting. And they're alone, and they don't have anyone that they can open up their life and share with. Pray for them. Find ways. Ask God to show you how you can connect with them. Ask God to show you how you can serve them. Ask God to give you opportunities to pray for people in the workplace, to invite people to hang out with your life group. Begin to pray for that and intercede and believe that not only is God going to be preparing them, but God is going to be changing your heart and giving you faith and preparing you to be sent to them. And lastly, just listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. This is something I really believe. That as God is working in you, and as you're praying, as you're in that rooftop moment, and as you're interceding for your mission field, the Holy Spirit is going to start to speak to you. And I love seeing this happen. Like, I loved it, you know, just over a year ago, or a couple years ago, it was really cool that, like, there were some brothers and sisters in our church in Ann Arbor that they just felt like, you know what, why don't we just get together, and let's just start praying for Hong Kong. Let's just start praying and just pray for the city, pray for the island. Let's just start to pray for Hong Kong, and let's pray that, like, someday that there will be a church plant there. Let's just pray that someday that will happen. And God was moving in their hearts and preparing them to pray. And I believe the Holy Spirit was leading them, because it was just a few months after that we were able to share with our church that God was leading us to plant a church in Hong Kong. And we realized that God was preparing people's hearts for that. God was leading people to pray for that. And so begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. Some of you, I would really encourage you for that. Like, some of you, maybe you're praying for East Austin. And you're praying, God, will you just begin to do a work there? Just begin to work in the apartment buildings and the houses and the schools and the neighborhoods. God, work in East Austin. Some of you, you're praying for international students on campus. You're just praying, God, will you work in them? And the Holy Spirit is leading you and giving you a heart for them. He wants you to take steps of faith in that direction. Some of you, God is challenging you to pray even about future church plants, future nations. Right now, there are people in Ann Arbor that they're praying for. They're praying for South Korea. They're praying for Japan. They're praying for Europe. They're praying for all different groups. And I love that, because I didn't tell them to do it. It was the Holy Spirit that laid it on their hearts to say, you know what, we just want to pray for these cities, for these campuses, for these people. And as you do that, just really begin to dream. And let the Holy Spirit begin to put a burden on your heart and lead you forward toward these things. And then I believe he's also going to show you opportunities you'll have this summer. But some of you, again, you're going home. And maybe your family are like the last people you ever thought you'd share the gospel with. It intimidates you. But God's going to open up a door. He's going to open up an opportunity. Maybe it's some friends from high school who don't know Jesus. And you've never talked about your faith before. But you're going to go home this summer. And you're just going to feel like the Holy Spirit is leading you and saying, hey, you know, we've never talked about this before, but something happened to me this past year. I feel like I actually met God, and I want to know what you believe. I want to know what's important to you. And God's going to show you those opportunities. Some of you, you're going to have those opportunities right here. Don't wait until the fall to start reaching this campus. Don't wait until the fall to start reaching this city. Don't wait for those divine appointments. Learn. Go out on campus right now, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, believe that He's going to start to show you those divine appointments, those opportunities, those people that He is preparing to bring the gospel to. As we consider all these things, as we commit ourselves to these things, I want to invite us just to stand together here so we can close out this morning. And, you know, we're going to be spending some time just to respond in prayer and to respond in worship and also to take communion together. You know, as we're standing here and we're just bringing this weekend to its conclusion, I'm so thankful for the work of God among us. But you know what God wants from us is not to just go through the motions of a weekend and not to just get all hyped up and then go back to business as usual. He doesn't want us to just kind of talk a good talk about His mission and talk a good talk about going to the nations and just go right back to the way things always were. He wants to lead us forward. And what I want to encourage you with today is that the only way that you're going to be able to continue moving forward, preparing yourself and asking God to prepare you and asking God to prepare other people, all these things, the only way that you're going to continue on that path, that you're going to continue to hear His voice, that you're going to continue to know His heart, the only way is if you keep coming back to the cross of Jesus Christ and realizing that you and I were the unclean people. You and I were the people that were unlovable. You and I were the people that were broken. You and I were the people who were stuck in our sin and our shame and our guilt. You and I were the people who were afraid and wondering if anyone would come to rescue us. And when we remember that that's who we were before God, that we were the unclean, sinful, fallen apart, unlovable people, the enemies of God, and then we look at the cross and we realize what God did to show His love for us, well, then we can stand in wonder and awe and thankfulness and joy before the love of God our Father and His Son Jesus, and we can just worship and we can rejoice and we can catch a vision of what the Lord is now calling us to live like. That just as Jesus left the comfort of heaven and came to earth to reach us, those unclean people, that now He is calling us to leave our place of comfort, our place of safety, our place of security, and to go to those unclean people that the Lord is preparing to hear the good news. And so right at this moment, brothers and sisters, can I invite you, look at Jesus. Look at Him hanging on the cross. Look at Him shedding His blood for you and I. Look at the extravagant love of God that has been poured out for you and I. And can you just in this moment be thankful? Stand in wonder. Stand in awe. Stand with just a thankful heart before Him. And as you just have this moment, this next couple minutes, as you have this next couple minutes just to look at Jesus and rejoice in His incredible love and rejoice that He loved unclean people like us. I want to ask you in this time to focus on the gospel, to focus on the cross, and we're going to prepare to take communion together after that. But let's first just come before our God. Begin to lift up prayers of worship and thanksgiving to Him. Begin to lift up prayers of confession. Maybe you even need to confess to Him at this moment that you have looked at other people as unclean. You've looked at other people as unlovable, as people you would never want to associate with. Maybe confess that to God in this moment and ask the Lord to forgive you and set you free and give you the love of Christ. But let's ask Him in these couple moments just to lead us, to guide us in our prayers, to speak to us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in this moment. God, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and that you will fill this place and that you will touch every heart and that you will renew every mind. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch us deep within our souls and give us thankfulness, Lord. Give us thankfulness for the cross of Jesus Christ. Give us overwhelming joy that even while we were still sinners, yet Christ died for us. And that, God, as we recognize that incredible love, that, Lord, you will set us free to love the unlovable, to go to the unclean and to those who are different, to those who seem so far away from us, that, God, you will change our hearts and you'll prepare us to be sent. God, do that work in us here in this moment and lead us as we respond to you. We believe in you to do that, Lord. We thank you, God. Lead us now in prayer in Jesus' name. Let's begin to respond to him, brothers and sisters. Lift up our hearts to him together.